Next, we have Shia Kent, who is from the Department of Biostatistics at the University of Alabama, and he's a PhD student for another day. He's defending tomorrow, so he's really, it's amazing he's here. And he's going to talk about the relationship between sunlight and stroke risk.
Thank you all for being here, and I'd like to thank NASA for inviting me to be here. Today I'll talk to you about my study looking at the possible benefit of sunlight exposure to lowering stroke risk incidence. So again, the basic outline, we'll go through the background between sunlight and stroke risk with a hypothesis. I'll go through my data sources. There's sunlight measures from the NASA database, obtained database, and the regards cohort, where we got our stroke outcomes, and then the methods and results and conclusions and limitations. So my hypothesis is that lower levels of solar radiation or sunlight exposure are associated with increased stroke incidence. So there's evidence that stroke risk may be related to environmental factors, in that there's higher stroke incidence in the winter and during lower temperatures. In addition, some cardiovascular risk factors have these seasonal components, such as higher blood pressures in the winter. In addition, there's a study that did find that exposure to ultraviolet B rays resulted in subjects having lower blood pressures than those that were not exposed to ultraviolet B. In addition, ecological relationships, long-term relationships may be shown in that there are higher stroke incidences and higher blood pressures closer to the North Pole as compared to latitudes closer to the equator. So the proposed pathway this may occur is through vitamin D metabolism. Vitamin D has been found to be possibly associated with cardiovascular function. And this is a graph showing, so this is the seasonal variation in day length. So you can see soon after the peak in day length, there is a peak in vitamin D blood levels. So vitamin D blood levels closely mirror the seasonal variation in day length. Our stroke outcomes, our study population, came from the REGARD study, which is a large prospective cohort. The population is obtained from a random sample throughout the continental United States, with a sampling bias in the southeastern region where there is a high stroke mortality belt. There are more than 30,000 participants at baseline. About half are African American, half are white, half male, half female. Where there's an initial baseline computer-assisted telephone interview where many of the variables are taken, and then soon after there's an in-home visit where additional lab measurements are taken. And also what's used for this study, at this time at the in-home visit, we left a lifetime residential history form which they were to fill out and return at a later date. So the follow-up for regards, the participants are contacted every 6 months, and in the event of if a stroke is reported, then the medical records are retrieved, and the panel of physicians decide on the stroke, whether it was a stroke, and the subtype and severity of the stroke. So our sunlight measurements came from this NLDAS data set. This NLDAS has many environmental measures on a daily basis on about a 14-kilometer resolution that includes the 48 continental United States. We're going to use a measure. We used a measure of sunlight or insolation, and we also used for temperature. We used daily maximum temperatures. Insolation is a variable that's obtained from hourly measures of solar radiation that are summed up to a daily value that is referred to as insolation. So to merge these two data sets, we use the residential history from the GARDS database and match the locations with the USGS database, which has a database of cities and their associated latitudes and longitudes. We use these latitudes and longitudes and merge them with the NLDAS data set. And you can see there was over 25,000 of the about 30,000 participants returned the lifetime residential history form, so we're available to be merged with the NLDAS form database. And a few of the 295 of these participants had some missing data, largely because of residing outside of the 48 continental United States. And for these, we just use the non-missing values to calculate their exposures. So just to show, this is the general study design. We use the in-home visit as the index. We use the strokes after the in-home visit as our follow-up period. And we calculated up to 15 years of insulation and temperature exposure previous to the in-home visit. So we excluded all participants that had reported previous stroke or coronary artery disease. We defined outcome as incident stroke of any subtype during the follow-up, and we used Cox proportional hazards for our analysis. So we calculated 15-year averages. In addition, exposure had not been previously looked at, we looked at 15, 10, 5, 2, and 1 year exposure periods. And we categorized insulation as being either above or below the median exposure, and we categorized maximum temperatures as quartiles. To choose between the different time periods, we use the AIC values, which would tell us the best model fit. We adjusted for a whole range of confounders. In addition, to explore for potential pathways, we included some mediators, such as cardiovascular mediators, such as systolic blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, and other potential pathways for the relationship between insulation and stroke risk. So there were 16,606 participants available for analysis after our exclusions. And there were 351 strokes. There was a general trend for shorter time periods compared to the longer time periods to have a better fit. However, the difference was not that large when looking at all the different time periods. As you can see from the example, comparing 15-year to 1 year, the AIC value is just a little bit smaller. This is the Kaplan-Meier curve showing the higher insulation exposure, those characterized as being above the median insulation compared to those that are below. And those that were below the median insulation did have a higher stroke event rate. These are the results of our Cox regression models. You can see the first line is the univariate analysis between insulation and stroke risk. And it was significant with a hazard ratio of about 1.4. When we added temperature, the association actually got a little stronger. And we added the confounders into the model, the association attenuated somewhat. However, adding the mediators to the model did not affect the relationship. So our conclusion is that lower exposures to insulation may be associated with higher stroke incidence. We also confirmed that both higher and lower temperatures are associated with higher stroke incidence, which has already been evidenced in previous studies. However, the biological pathway is not clear, since when we added the mediators, there was no the relationship did not change. So this study, the use of this NASA database and the REGARD study allowed us to combine a cohort study, which originally did not have any environmental measures, and adapt it to environmental health research. In addition, we used a direct measure of sunlight rather than the proxies that some other studies have used, such as latitude and air pressure. And the limitations. There's a possible exposure misclassification. Since most of our time is spent indoors, it's possible that the variation captured in our outdoor measures at the residence of the participants doesn't actually capture the variation of what the participants are exposed to. In addition, our confounders and mediators, including time-varying confounders such as blood pressure, we only have a single baseline measure. And although we did do a, account for region, stroke risk region, there still may be residual spatial autocorrelation. I'd like to thank all my collaborators at UAB and at NASA, and for all their support.